Aloha.
Hello and welcome. Oh, my voice cracked a little bit there. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining us. Episode number 384 of the show. Stoked you are a listener. If you would like to reach out and be part of the show, you can email us. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. You can also call us and leave a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. Also, as many of you have, I would encourage more of you to subscribe to our bonus content where you get the full show every week, commercial free. You get it the night before it gets dropped to everybody else. And you don't miss out on stories that aren't on the public show. Like, I don't know if we're going to get to the spinal surgeon that found out his wife was a high-priced escort. Like, that's something you're going to want to hear us talk about. And if you're not subscribed to Red Circle, you're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear about the guy that murdered his 94-year-old grandfather in the woods of West Virginia. You're not going to hear about Jennifer Aniston's odd dieting routine. A lot of stuff that we talk about, and if you're subscribed to Red Circle, you get it all. If you're not, you just get most of it. Plus all the bonus stuff we do. I am joined now, as always, by co-host of the program, Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
Hey, I'm just checking Twitter, and it looks like you guys didn't like my response to... Wow. Was it Rachel Yucatel?
Wow, Ed. I mean, she's had a hard life. She's had
You know what she's had? She's had a lot of collagen jammed into her lips.
A lot of facial surgery.
It's too much. It's too much. It's always too much. That was my point.
She was a pretty girl.
I kind of vaguely remember she was attractive, but she looks like that cat lady now. She does. There's too much going on. She looks like Wayland Flowers.
You know, I think she's like our age or a little bit younger.
Yeah, she looks. You know, that's the problem. Yeah, I mean, Meg Ryan went that weird route. Yep. It goes real weird, real quick.
It's the Fibonacci sequence, Ed. It ruins the proportions of your face. If you do too much, you just look weird. People look at you and something is off. They notice it.
Yeah. And I don't know. We're getting enough evidence at this point in our lives.
Yeah.
That you would think people would see whoever came first before what you could tell is done and been like, you know what? I can't look what happened to them. And then you look at some of these older ladies that are beautiful. I know. Botox is used very liberally in Hollywood.
Yeah, very common.
There can be cases where it's not, you know, crazy overdone. Like, you know, when it got to Joan Rivers, where she couldn't make any expressions anymore.
Overtox.
She had gone to, but I understand that not every person I'm looking at, every woman I'm looking at, the Botox, some it's worked for to a point.
Sure.
I mean, it stinks, the double standard and everything.
Yes,
but
it's not fair.
You can age gracefully.
Look at Marissa Tomei.
Right.
Gorgeous.
She doesn't have the fucking giant lips.
Nope. She doesn't overdo it. You know, it's kind of like, it's almost like an eating disorder where you're just, what do they call that? Body dysmorphia.
That's right.
You just keep chasing it. You're like, one more thing and I'll look the way I want to look. And it's just, and then one thing is, you know, kind of doesn't go well. So you need a new nose job or another chin implant. It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a,
I mean, think about somebody that I don't even know what she looks like now, but Jennifer Grey.
Oh, she got that nose job.
That charming look to her.
She was very cute.
And then she got very generic looking, like pretty, I guess. I mean, you know, it's not like she got a nose job that looked like a horrible nose, but she just looked generic. She didn't look like Jennifer Grey anymore.
Lost a little character. She had strong features. I like people with unusual features.
Sure.
Like that. I think that's it's a distinguishing thing.
Stop butchering yourselves.
It's not fair for women.
We're all lovely though.
Yes, I know.
Come on.
Like look at Nicole Kidman. She really does it up, and it's hard when you watch her in something, you just can't stop looking at how she doesn't look the way she used to look.
It's been going on for a while.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's probably she's probably feels like she has to keep up with that.
Like he looks like he's had a lot.
Oh yeah, that older lesbian that she's married to. with the highlighted hair and that's very sassy style.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he shops at TJ Maxx. Like with your aunt.
Yeah. Speaking of somebody that he looks like your aunt's much cooler longtime roommate.
Yeah.
You know, like Aunt Judy's coming over with Maggie again.
I can't even remember the dude's name. I want to say Kenny Chesney, but it's not that.
Keith Urban. Keith Urban. Yeah, yeah. Like what's obviously that's not his given name, right? That's not his Christian name, Keith Urban. I'm going to look it up. No one's last name is Urban. Urban.
I feel like half the time when you see the made up name and then you hear the original name, you're like, Why didn't they stick with the original?
Well, so his is Keith Lionel Urban. He just dropped the H. It's U-R-B-A-H-N. He just switched it to Urban. But he is just the worst. I mean, I don't know what his music sounds like, but just by looking at him, I know it sucks. It sucks.
I don't know what his music is, but at the same time, I do know.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sucks.
Like, I kind of know.
Whatever it is, it's horrible. It's a guy that looks like that makes it. Speaking of people that have had a hard life, I watched that Val Kilmer documentary.
Man, somebody told me to watch it, but they said, be prepared to be depressed.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. I'm glad I watched it. You definitely are bummed for his cancer situation. And the thing is, what he says in the doc is that he's actually perfectly healthy and the cancer wasn't that bad. It's just that he had throat cancer and the radiation that killed the cancer fucked up his throat. So he's got the trach tube now.
He's a trach tube?
Yeah. He's got the little.
Oh, no.
So it's not like the voice box thing, but it's that thing where he has to. He explains it in the thing. They put a piece of plastic down his throat to keep it open.
But as of now, his cancer's in remission?
Yeah.
Like he's not.
Yeah. Okay. He says he's perfectly healthy. It's just that the treatment for the cancer destroyed his voice box or whatever. And because he's got the thing down his throat, you can either eat or breathe. You can't do both. So he's got to have the tube there to let air in while he's eating.
If he wants to act again, he's got to go after the Bruce Dern parts.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. He's indecipherable. You can't understand what he's saying. Okay. The movie's subtitled. He did do that one movie, Snowman. Did you see that?
Oh, I know of it. I didn't see it.
I didn't watch it all the way through. It was okay. And with that Michael Fassbender and his beautiful penis, he doesn't show his penis in that movie, but he does in other movies. He's in that and they dub him in that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They like overdub him like Bruce Lee. Wow. Yeah, I know. It's a bummer, but it's a good movie. He made it, you know, and it's about his life and growing up, and it's just, you know, how much he loved to act. And he's one of these guys that brought a camcorder with him wherever he went. So there's like all this behind the scenes footage of all the movies he worked on. So there's like, I've never seen this movie either, but it's like a classic Hollywood flop, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
I did see that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that was during the era where I had the black box in college. So the pay-per-view of that was going on.
Yeah.
And I would just catch, I never watched it straight through, but I would catch pieces. And, you know, he was already bonkers in Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
But by that point, Brando was just out of his gourd.
Oh yeah.
It was insane, that movie.
Yeah. And there's behind the scenes stuff of him like all fat in a hammock. And that's pretty good. And it's just like, you know, you forget because Val Kilmer was so beautiful. You forget right. just what a fantastic actor he was. Like, he's so good. And it takes, you go through all his performances and it's just like, he was incredible.
People love Tombstone.
Yeah.
Mostly because of him.
He's great.
Like, it was a solid movie, but people really latch onto that movie because of his portrayal of Doc.
Absolutely. And the relationship between those two guys. I don't know if he addresses it, because I was kind of like in and out of watching it, but that's one of those movies where they replace the director halfway through, just like the Island of Dr. Moreau. So it was like kind of a mess, but yeah, it's, you know, Kurt Russell's amazing. But his performance is just incredible. And he talks about that last scene where he's dying and he's, you know, Kurt Russell comes to visit him. Wyatt Earp comes to visit him. And he said he had production line the whole bed with bags of ice. So he was just laying on ice so he could just feel like as close to as uncomfortable as Doc Holliday would have felt in that moment, dying of tuberculosis. It's a fucking incredible performance. It's really good. So I would suggest watching that documentary. It's worth it. As sad as it is, it's also
I'll check it out.
Pretty cool. You want to do some voicemails?
Sure.
Let's do it.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big tits.
You never got any. Oh, speak of the devil.
Big balling, shot calling, microphone pimping, podcast for your ass. Ooh, what's up,
old fellas? School intro.
Bri Beckner. Yeah. Easy Edward Dwayley. How the hell are you? And I know it's Daly, not Dwayley.
Dwayley.
Anyway.
That's all right. That's all right, buddy.
Calling with some important stuff.
At least he didn't say add in quotes.
A question for you guys. What the hell becomes of
the brokenhearted?
People who eat in these food contests, competitive eaters, I should say, when everything's said and done, you know?
Yeah.
Jarred my memory because I was working for a customer by the name of Kobayashi.
Whoa.
For those of you who don't.
The OG.
Bury the lead. I mean, brush with greatness. Kobayashi, the legend.
Remember, the guy named Kobayashi was Joey Chestnut before Joey Chestnut. And I'm sure some of you saps don't even know who the hell Joey Chestnut is.
I wish I didn't.
That's a good thing.
I didn't know who Joey Chestnut it was.
I hate that I know who he is.
Yeah, the hot dog eating contest, so disgusting in the first place. But there's something about him that he just makes it that much worse. Kobayashi wasn't that bad.
The way he strains his neck, and it's just so disgusting. And looking at all like the water dripping down his face, he is the grossest guy on earth.
I believe, and I could be mistaken, I believe that Kobayashi pioneered the water dunk technique. Before Kobayashi, people were just trying to eat dogs just dry. And Kobayashi's like, no. And also Kobayashi did the thing where he'd do the dogs and the buns separately. So he would take two dogs, eat them, you know, like typewriter style, like jam them in. And then he'd follow it up with two dunked buns and jam those in. But before Kobayashi, people didn't know about the water technique. And that I believe, really revolutionized.
He drove those numbers up.
Yeah, big time, big time.
Competitive eater. He jams hot dogs down his gullet.
Disgusting.
You know what I mean? By the 30s.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it got me thinking, like Kobayashi, where are we now? Where is he now? You know, what do you...
Well, weren't you at his house? Like, if you just said you were doing a job for him, like, if anybody knows where Kobayashi is, it's you. You just rooted out his main line.
Do you think he ever enjoys a meal?
Like Kobayashi?
Yeah, once you've done that. And, yeah. You know, I'm sad to admit this. I didn't see it this year. But in past years, I've seen at least, like, been in the apartment when it's going on. I can't remember ever focusing on it in the last decade.
Yeah.
But my boys will watch it, and they'll give the stats. And it's like, yeah, we all know about the Nathan's contest. But they're like, oh, he ate 38 pound cakes in 4 minutes. Like, they eat every. There's a contest for everything. These weird, horrible, just jamming. Oh, he ate 74 radishes. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Do you think you can enjoy food? Like, or is it just?
I don't know.
I don't know. Or is it like? Is it like a porn star? You know, just trying to have a sexual relationship.
Right. Yeah. Kind of tough. Well, I mean, it's probably similar because to get into this, much like a porno actor, you have to have had some trauma, right? Like you don't like no one just chooses this lane. Like
you've definitely seen somebody murder your parents
exactly
before you jam 38 pound cakes into your mouth.
For sure. And you have to have some sort of a strange relationship with food, an unhealthy relationship with food in the first place to even think about doing this.
Grandma used to beat you with a bag of onions or something.
Exactly.
Do when you retire from shoveling 30 hot dogs down your gullet on the Coney Island hot dog eating contest.
I have to, and I'm interested in this call because this is an interesting topic, but I have to correct Manuel here because he's saying like 30. The 30's the last place person in the like 30's nothing.
Aren't they more than double that?
I think they're around 70, the winner. In however, 3 minutes or whatever it is, 5 minutes.
You know, it's a great word. Gullet.
Oh, yeah. It's a great word. Yeah.
Just for whatnot. You know, after ESPN's gone and after you're not winning anymore, because Joey Chestnut has turned that thing into a monopoly, basically.
You know what he's calling for?
What?
Behind the Music. After the music died.
Yeah.
That's what he's calling for.
Yeah. Well, he's got it. Yeah. I mean, he's got to hit the skids, right? There has to be an arc to the story. And as far as I know, Joey Chestnut's still riding high. He hasn't had his Buster Douglas moment yet. He hasn't had his Don King, Desiree Washington moment.
Right. The last one of those Behind the Musics that I watched, because there was a stretch where I was watching a fair amount of them. I watched Huey Lewis in the News, and it was awful because they're like, and then they got less popular, but they all stayed friends and they still perform just smaller venues now. You're like, what? That's it?
Did they lament Huey's giant stack of money and even gianter stack of penis? Did they? Was he like?
Well, that's why he's having the greatest time. He's always having the greatest time because he's just packing and stacking.
Yeah, exactly. He's rich and he's got a big ass dick and he lives in Northern California. It's tough go there.
So. I wonder what happened to the guy, Kobayashi. Joey Chestnut. Like, what the hell? What? Okay. Does that guy have, like, a real job?
Yeah.
Is competitive?
No. That is interesting. I remember the first time I saw Joey Chestnut when he came on the scene. Because they'll list, like you're talking about, they'll list, like, their eating achievements. But much like The Bachelor, where it'll say, like, flight attendant or personal trainer. It also had their job, and Joey Chestnut's job was engineering student. And I believe he attended San Jose State. And then I watched it like 6 years later, and Joey Chestnut was in the contest again, and I saw the Chiron under his name, and it said Joey Chestnut, engineering student. So I'm guessing he's a doctor by now. Like, he's got his PhD because he was an engineering student for at least 9 years that I'm aware of.
Only job. These are things I wonder, man. I'm wondering if maybe you guys can shed some light on this, or maybe you do a deep dive on the competitive eaters of the 2000s, and we see what the hell is up with Joey Chestnut. Yeah. What's going on with Kobayashi?
What is?
You know what I mean,
Kobayashi, fellas? He jumped out of the
all
game.
Right.
Yeah, because they wouldn't meet his appearance fee.
Yeah, he started. He hasn't done. He was barred in 2012 due to a contract dispute.
Yep.
And then he tried, like, it's pretty funny. He ate hot dogs at the Criff Dog Classic, and it's like, no.
July 4th?
It's unclear.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it was a different type of hot dog from Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. So he's like, you know what? I'm bigger than this. And they're like, nah, you know, Kobayashi, you're not quite that big.
Yeah,
and
it's like Joe Namath going to the AFL or the USF, even better. It's like Herschel Walker leaving school a year early to go to the USFL.
So in 2014 was his final competitive event. And this is even worse. Something called 235th was the contest. He ate 113 bunless Nathan's hot dogs.
Wow.
So he was chasing that high of Nathan's, but he was banned. Yeah. I mean, he's been out of the game for 7 years.
I got to imagine that you don't keep all that on board. And I'll tell you this. Remember, couple months ago, I went to Cabo, and I told my hungover Cabo story here on the show.
Yeah.
Where I vomited on the golf course and then got back from golfing, and I vomited in the shower again. And while I was vomiting in the shower, I was vomiting up exactly one hot dog, and it was unpleasant. It was a zero stars. Not recommend. F minus.
You know,
don't do what
disgusting.
I did, kids. Like, I would do a PSA for this, vomiting up one hot dog. These guys are vomiting up 70 hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Gee, there's no way they keep that on board, right? They gotta purge.
No, there's essentially Dumb and Dumber on one end and vomiting on the other. They're in a hotel room somewhere just destroying
it. You got to get rid of that.
It's been a while since I vomited. It probably been, I don't know, 5 years, 4 years. Like,
yeah, it had been a while.
Just haven't. And I remember it's sometimes a reminder that I'm not as good at chewing as I think I am.
Totally.
You're like,
slow down.
What's going on? I'm seeing like full parts of food here.
Right. You're supposed to count the chews.
I know. It's sad. But yeah. I am reminded it's, you know, I don't vomit all that often. But let's say, you know, in the 4 times in the last 20 years, each time I'm like, oh, geez, that's a little too much food in one piece.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
I got to do a better job at chewing.
It's a real come to Jesus moment. You know, you really...
It's sad.
You go through all the stages when you're vomiting. You know, it's you're just feeling it all the feels. Right. Oh my God, I lost the tab here. Oh my gosh. Oh no, it went back to the beginning. Hold on, he had like 20 seconds left. Yeah.
Have a blessed one.
Oh.
August 19th.
Okay, he's saying goodbye. But there's still 30 seconds left in the call. I'm fascinated to hear where this goes.
It's going to be a bit where he pretends he thinks he.
Oh, that's his new thing. That's his new thing. He hangs up but forgets. He's done that a couple times now.
But now I'm right now.
What's that, Ed?
I do think it was genuine.
Yeah.
But now I wonder if it's going to not be genuine.
Well, yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested to see where it goes.
Probably 80 degrees. Hopefully you guys aren't hitting those triple digits, but if you are, stay hydrated.
Weather update, drink your water.
That sunstroke's a motherfucker.
Yeah, outro. Outro.
That's what's going on.
Yep. But is he going to come back and talk? He's running out of time. No, that was it. He's got a hard time hanging up the phone, which is weird because the hang up the phone is just that red button in the middle of the phone.
Yeah, you don't hang anything up anymore.
Yeah.
There was a satisfaction. If you were steamed and you needed to get off the phone, it was like, I said good day.
Yeah, I said good day, sir. That is a nice slamming down the big, like the heavy.
Used to at work. At work, it was weird. Even though technology had moved on, you're not using cell phones for work. And I would have two phones, sometimes to either ear.
Oh, my God.
And I could.
Because you were slinging bonds.
It was a fun experience having those. And you would have it with the old school cords. Like it was like an old school phone, a big, like, weighty phone.
One phone to each ear. That's a thing. Okay.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let's listen to this next one.
Hey, Brian and Ed. Hey, it's Drew in Houston.
Drew in Houston, great guy. Hope he's fixed his ice situation.
He's had brushes with some famous golfers.
That's true. Yeah, maybe this is one of those stories.
Been drinking. I'm going to try to keep this short and coherent as I'm want not to do when I've been drinking. So just listening to the episode about, and you guys were talking about Dusty Hill dying, huge loss here in Houston.
R.I.P. Dusty Hill, Houston resident, ZZ Top bass player. Talked about him
after last week's show. I went on a little mini marathon of ZZ Top.
Oh, that's fun.
I don't know the names of their albums, but I was like, well, what is LaGrange? What album was that on originally? And then just listen to some Ombres? Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, that's a great album. Great.
They're a good fucking band.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Love ZZ Top. But anyway, I got to know Frank Beard a little bit.
The drummer.
Golf. And talk about, one of the best guys ever. Frank is like salt of the fucking earth. Interesting story. I asked him, I was like, how do you guys stay together for 50 fucking years? And he said, for about the last 30 years, they've been traveling in separate motorhomes and living separate lives on the road. It's like they each have their own whole travel deal, and they only show up for sound check, rehearsal, concerts, and then when they're done with the meet and greet, they split off and go do their own thing. Like Frank would play golf anywhere, out of town and all that. He said he's been sober since like 1980. And so he basically chain smokes, one after another on the golf course, like heater after heater.
Whoa.
And he also is addicted to Tab soda water. He would have Coke bring him cases of Tab and stack them up in his garage and he would take on tour. But anyway, just a little insight there. But yeah, RIP Dusty. ZZ Top, the best, the fucking best. Anyway, talk to you guys later.
That's a great story.
I'm not being funny. Do they make Tab?
They must. If Frank Beard's drinking it.
Or is this guy like hoarding it like Elaine hoarded the sponge?
Right. Or Cosby and the Quaaludes. They stopped making Quaaludes in the 70s, I think. Yeah, and he didn't seem to run out.
Cos had like an oil drum full of them.
Yeah, that's a funny story because in the documentary, Frank Beard, the drummer for ZZ Top, he always has a soda with like the koozie on it. Every single shot of him, he's drinking a soda in a koozie in that movie.
I may have told this story before, but some other time because there's plenty, but my buddy went golfing with Jim McMahon, and there were all kinds of deals throughout those 18 holes.
Oh, I bet.
That was terrific. I could give you 20 minutes on what my buddy experienced. It's amazing.
I would like to hear that story. I have a friend that played golf one time with a well-known TV actor. And much like what you're saying, he said the TV actor had a great many deals and also brought like a manservant with him while golfing and doing his deals.
Wow.
Yeah. Sounded like a pretty good day. Okay. Here's another one.
Hey, ballers. Hey, Ed. Hey, Brian. It's me, your third, fourth, okay, fifth favorite guy.
Stu.
So I was listening to last week's show, and Ed said something, and it was just sort of an off-the-cuff comment about hot and cold friends, you know, and maybe we'll just leave this one cold. And it's just been in the back of my head this whole time.
So hold on. This is not ringing a bell to me. Do you remember what he's talking about?
Yeah, I was talking about how as an adult man.
Oh, having a best friend.
I don't. No, no, no. I just don't like people who are playing it hot and cold. Like,
oh, yeah, totally.
The hot is not worth it in pretty much any relationship for me to deal with the cold. So I think I just said, let's just keep it cold. I was just talking about a friendship that kind of.
Oh, yeah, it's too much work. Yeah.
Dissipated like 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, I recall that. I remember agreeing with
because
you.
I'm fucking old.
Yeah, yeah, aren't we all?
Listen, I know. There's this Twitter crush thing that happened 10 years ago. She divorced her wife down in SoCal, and she moved to Washington. She's about 100 miles from me. She, you know, got a house, all that, brought the Range Rover, yada, yada. And, you know, for a long time, I was hot and heavy with her. And then she broke my spirit. And I, you know, we communicate stuff, but it's just like, why am I?
This has happened. This LSU did this to us one time. Is Stu in the left-hand turn lane? Do you hear his blinker?
I think I do.
His indicator turn signal?
Doing any of this anymore. You're 100 fucking miles away. I don't even want to get with you. I haven't gotten with you in years. Like, what am I doing? Why am I entertaining this?
Yeah.
It's just
because you're horny.
Like, I'm wasting my time and hers.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for that, Ed. And there's a bunch of other shit I could say about the show, but
you're
welcome. Fucking rock, and you know it. Oh, listen, everybody who hears this right now, double your fucking contribution.
Wow.
I'm doing it right after I hang up. Double your monthly contribution. You fuckers. All right. Love you.
Bye. Love you, Stu. Love you, Stu.
He's great. And you know what? Maybe because I know what you've told me about him, but there's just a bounce to his voice of a man who's had lots of sex.
Yeah. He's retired.
You know what I mean?
He's
given off a great vibe.
Yeah.
A vibe of a man who's done it. He's lived it.
Untethered, which is not many people can say. So he's just doing his thing every day. He's very content.
Dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Great guy. That's why they call him the guru. He's mellow. Okay, one more and then we'll get on with it.
Ballers, Fan here.
Oh, Fan Fan.
Fan Fan.
Back in the mix. Love Fan Fan. I wonder if he's going to mention anything about a certain story that our dear friend Dolomite once told on the show. See if he brings that up.
He's doing well. I've been kind of depressed. Seen that the peace treaty fell through between Dolomite D and P2P.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, that whole thing.
That was hard on all of us. The peace we brokered between Dolomite D and Telly Tupot was short-lived. Short-lived. Do you say short-lived or short-lived?
Lived, I think.
That's right. Lived, but you've heard people say short-lived. Should I start doing short-lived as one of those things I do where I mispronounce something on purpose to annoy people?
How about the situations where you're heading down that road, you're saying a sentence where you realize this is a word you've only read.
Yeah.
And you have to say it. And you've had it in your head a certain way.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, shit, I'm not sure if I'm right coming out with this one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not quinoa, but something like that. Like, if the first time you say something that you've only read and you're like, all right, can I do this? Like when I was in like third grade and I said James Buchanan for Buchanan, I didn't know.
I am superfluous.
Yeah.
I remember reading that out loud and just really butchering it. Superfluous. Sure. I think I said superfluous.
There's tons of words like that.
Yeah. Biopic.
Yep.
That's one of those.
Infamous.
The work that you guys did.
Infamous. I always thought it was infamous.
Of course. How could you not?
It looks like infamous.
It does look like that.
Then you got to hear somebody say it and you go, oh, wait, I'm saying it wrong. Right. When I read it wrong.
Yep. Bond off the GoFundMe account and got you guys raised some money for your good deeds.
Fan.
Obviously just a saint. Few months later, things kind of fall apart. But, you know, with all good deeds, I guess, never go unpunished. So anyways, I was trying to sit there and think through the situation. And, you know, with great powers comes great responsibility. And, you know, Dolomite.
Who's he called? Is that Winston Churchill, Ed? Not to put you on the spot.
I thought it was Spider-Man.
Oh, right. You're probably right.
Had two master's degrees, and we all know that, you know, in the right situation, you know, sexual situation, of course, you know, he has a superpower. And, you know.
I mean, like, I get that you're a fan of Dolomite. You like that story that he told. I think he just has the same regular power that the rest of us have. Like, we all have the ability for, you know, barring an industrial accident, we all have the ability to ejaculate. Like, Dolomite's story is that he ejaculated one time. It's the aftermath was out of his control. He didn't have any power over what happened to his ejaculate.
I kind of like the idea that Fan thinks it was like a supersized delivery.
Load. Yeah.
That's funnier. Like a gallon came out.
Yeah, because when he ejaculated, like,
you know, when you're trying to drink from the fire hose kind of thing. I think that's what he's saying.
When he ejaculated, the ejaculate came out, went into her sinus cavity and came out her nose, is I believe how the story goes.
Yeah.
But that's not a function of that there was so much of it. It's just,
that's like when you're a kid and you're laughing.
Yes, exactly.
And it comes out your nose.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right, Ed. Good explanation.
As far as T2P, he also has some kind of power because there's very few people that's willing to verbally out loud tell somebody they're going to send them horizontal. So obviously he may be, you know, like a tier one asset or Delta SEAL Team 6, something like that.
Military.
Anyways. Both these guys know better. I mean, if you look at Dolomite D, kind of looks like a bully a little bit. And then you get
– he kind of does.
T2P picks up his ball when someone talks him smack and he walks home.
Yes.
But it's all serious, pretty funny all the way around. Anyways, my idea was possibly thinking of like a kind of like a Kumite, two-man enter, one-man.
Whoa.
Maybe doing like a golf tournament or something like that for these guys so he could just – figure out what the beef is and see if they can't just put this shit to bed. Anyways, hope you guys are doing well. Have a great day. Appreciate your service.
Love you, buddy.
Thank you, Fan. You're a great guy. Yeah, maybe they settle it. Maybe they, much like Tin Cup, remember in Tin Cup, Ed?
Yeah.
Where Roy Tin Cup McIlvaine.
McAvoy.
That's pretty close.
Close.
He breaks all his clubs at the turn. He's got to play the whole back nine with just a 7-iron. Maybe we get him out there. Dola can bring his 1-iron. He's allowed that he uses a 1-iron. They both play 9 holes with 1 club and see who comes out victorious. And then maybe we start refollowing each other on the Twitter machine. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I don't like this. I think they're both kind of like, T2P is being kind of sensitive, but he kind of has a reason to be mad. Dola was kind of trolling him pretty hard. So,
yep.
I hope they can work it out. Okay. Thank you for that, Fan. Thank you for everyone that called in this week. It's great to hear.
Yeah, good calls.
All of our friends. But, Ed, it's time. Let's talk a little sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what's going on this week in the world of sports? The Olympics are over.
The Olympics are over. We've
got. Did you see? I was kind of bummed to see that we, the United States, on the last day of the Olympics, overtook China in the gold medal department. Because did you see? I read something on Twitter about this, how all the American media had the United States leading the medal count the entire time, despite the fact that until the very last day of the Olympics, the United States did not have the most gold medals.
Yeah, it was the most total medals.
But that's kind of bitch. You're counting bronzes.
At the same time, are we just, we don't want China to become number one.
Of course not. But right. I mean, so, let's be honest about it.
Yeah, I know. What the thing I genuinely liked on several different track and field events, running events, and that you would see, and it would be like, oh, this is, Aruba's first ever gold medal or whatever. Anytime that happened, it's awesome because they are way more pumped.
Yeah. Did a guy from the Bahamas win the 100 meters?
Italy.
Right.
It was a black guy that was like born in Texas, and when he was an infant, moved to Italy.
Oh, like Kobe Bryant, R.I.P.
Yeah, and like he was like legit Italian because I saw him talking, and he's using all the hand gestures and everything.
Oh, really? Like Danny Aiello?
Yeah, he's Italian.
Wow, that's amazing.
But yeah, he dusted the field. But yeah, anyway, I enjoyed it, but I will talk. There's a story that we'll do a few down from the road from here. That was my favorite Olympic moment. We'll get to it. But
this is not
my favorite. This is not my favorite moment. MLB and Barstool Sports in talks to broadcast games.
I mean, I like, and forgive me for using this phrase, the outside the box thinking. Like, you have to appeal to a younger audience. You have to go where they are. You have to do things differently. But does this mean I have to listen to that Portnoy guy, like, talk about what the Mets or, God forbid, the Red Sox are doing that night? Like,
that guy is the fucking worst. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I agree with you. The fact that we're still – everything is still tied into old media is insane to me. And
totally.
NBC still – like they didn't get it right with Peacock, but at least they're on the way. They're on the way, but still, like, hey, well, you have the ability to deliver on demand stuff. You have a streaming app.
Give me
let's not say, hey, you know what? We definitely want the 100 meter dash to be at 8:15 p.m. on NBC.
Right.
Like, we got to move away from that, but at least we're moving in that direction. And so I get what you're saying. Yes, we need to explore different avenues, but that guy Portnoy is real bag of shit.
Yeah,
he's to me, the whole image of Barstool to me feels like if you asked a fourth or fifth grade boy what a cool adult man is like.
Yeah. It's very fratty. It's a very fratty thing. It's like their blog posts are like poorly written. You know, like
And
it's worth many hundreds of millions of dollars, and the website kind of looks like shit.
Yeah, it's worth all the money. I get that.
Yeah.
But what I would say to you is, if anyone is thinking, well, now I kind of like that Portnoy guy, Google, or maybe on YouTube, whatever, Portnoy Barstool running. And if you see this guy run, he did like a 40. Oh, maybe did a 40 or 100. It's the worst looking thing you'll ever see. And you could never look at somebody who runs like that.
Oh, he can't run.
It's the weirdest run.
Shut up. I got to see this. Hold on. I'm Googling it right now. Dave Portman. Oh, Barstool Combine with Todd McShay. No. Prez 40-yard dash fail.
Yeah. It's awful.
Okay. It can't be any worse than Rich Eisen. Oh, it's my worse. God. Commercial.
It's worse. It's worse than Rich Eisen. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Skip ads. Here we go. Oh, this is 7 minutes long?
Just
show me the run, guys. Hold on, I'm just doing that thing on the bottom of the screen. He's like out in a field, right?
Yes.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. He's shirtless? I don't want to see that.
Dead. Down, Ghost Frazier.
I don't know if I got the right video here. No, because there's only 64 likes. Prez attempts to run the 40-yard dash. Now, this is it. Hold on. Oh, does he pull a hammy? Okay, here he goes. He's like at a backstop. He's taken off from a backstop on like some shitty East Coast baseball field. You guys got to work on your field.
On your mark.
Okay.
Get set. Go.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, he fakes a pulled hammy, but it was almost like his legs were in cement or something. Like he couldn't lift his knees high enough.
Hold on. Nobody. He shouldn't be allowed to talk about sports if he runs like that.
Okay. I got to see this again. Hold on.
On your mark. Get set. Go.
Full Boston accent. Yeah. Oh, it's like he's underwater. And also his arms were like flailing to the side. Wow. That is worse than Rich Eisen.
It's the worst.
Unbelievable. Can he throw a football? I doubt it.
No chance.
Unlikely. Okay, Ed, what else is going on?
David Wells and David Cohn would get hammered the night before their starts as good luck in 1998.
Do you think well, that was a pretty good team. They had Mariano Rivera.
That was a team that I think they went over 110 wins. Yeah. They were ripping it off that year.
This is how we got stuck with Joe Torre, by the way. Because Joe Torre was a jobber. He gets a job with the Mets because he's easy to control.
Cardinals, Braves.
Yeah. He's a jobber.
He really was a jobber.
He's a jobber. Then he gets a job and the team is like Derek Jeter, Paul O'Neill, Scott Brosius, David Cohn, David Wells, Mariano Rivera, Dwight Gooden. Like they had all these just like studs and leaders on the field. Like Paul O'Neill was like the leader. Joe Torre didn't have to do shit. He had a great team. He just rolled the ball out there. But then they treat him like he's Phil Jackson gets the same treatment.
Same treatment, but also as an added layer, he had cancer and went through treatments.
Shit.
And so the team really rallied. I mean, I'm sure he's very likable.
Yeah.
But I think that elevated him to like godlike status. Yeah.
And then I think at one point he wrote a book that talked about how his dad used to tune his mom up. And I think that, you know, anybody would get sympathy out of that. But he's still a jobber. Frank McCourt hired him to manage the Dodgers. He was horrendous.
He works for the league now, right?
Yeah. He's like the disciplinary guy at the league. Do you think ball players still do that? They'll just go out and get wasted the night before? These ball players these days seem so professional. Like they don't do shit like that anymore.
You don't see many David Wells. I mean, David Wells.
He was fat.
Was a ridiculous talent, though. That's what was carrying him. And so I think he had lots of theories on why they needed to get shit faced before the games.
Yeah.
Like he convinced Cohn, oh, we're great if we get shit faced. And Cohn's like, all right, fine. And then Wells is like, well, if I get shit-faced before your start, I got to get shit-faced before my start.
It's back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it had nothing to do with their success.
No.
I think they just happened to be great.
Yeah. They were in the prime of their career, and they were both probably alcoholics, and they just wanted to get a reason to get fucked up.
Right, because that's an alcoholic behavior where you make an excuse for why you need to be shit-faced.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. This was one of the dickish moves of all time. French Olympic marathon runner, and the marathon, it was like 95 degrees. There were people just dropping out.
Yeah.
He knocked over all the water cups at a station except for his.
I love it.
And then had his water. And it got him a 17th place finish.
So oh, wait. The waters are like named? Like,
no, you know how there's a table full of waters? Yeah. He took one and then knocked them smashed all the over.
I love that. I love That's hey,
come on.
Guy played to win. Hey, Ed, 16 people came through there before him. They got a drink of water. All the people that were behind 17th place, they should have run faster. Could have had some water.
If it was the last water station, you're fighting with two other guys.
Yeah.
What
a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
And like not a good look for a Frenchman. You know, if the French are already considered assholes,
like
then this guy's
about
a total
last
asshole.
Week with the Germans.
Not good. Right.
You've already got enough strikes against you. You can't be doing this.
Yeah, when you're known to be from a racist culture, you can't be more racist. Right. You gotta be even better. You gotta be less racist and you gotta be less French when you're out there running the marathon.
The French were getting dunked on in European vacation. Like, it's right. Known you're dickheads. Yes.
They're snooty. Did
it's got to be 35 years ago.
Did any of the marathon runners lose their bodily functions? That happens.
I'm sure, but none that I saw. I mean, I just watched, like, the straightaway at the end. I didn't watch the marathon.
I saw that that race walking.
Oh man, it's disturbing to look at.
Yeah, why are they still doing that? Like, I feel like I could smoke
the last
those people.
One.
Oh, really? Good. Get rid of it.
I think it's read this is the final one. It's 50K.
Oh, that's far.
I mean, that is insane. Yeah. They're running, 31 miles?
No, that's crazy. And what's like, we 1 foot on the ground the whole time? How do they even.
Yeah, you have to have 1 foot on the ground. And they're just like, they look like they're just swiveling away.
Yeah, they're
swiveling
hips.
Those hips. It's real
it's
creepy looking.
It's a sassy walk. I'm not into it one bit.
Not at all.
That and I watched that. I'm like, oh, I could smoke these guys. I watched the 3-on-3 basketball and I was like, oh, these guys that I watched down here at the beach on the weekend, they could smoke these guys.
I
got better guys.
There was one Serbian guy that was just draining threes, but I think they got the bronze or maybe not even. But there was one guy who looked awesome. U.S. didn't even make it.
Oh, really?
In the men. The women won it. Yeah. The women took some WNBA women and they just destroyed it.
I saw a little bit of the women. There was a they had a real presence in the middle.
on
the women's 3-on-3 team.
All the rebounds.
Yeah, I couldn't really see. I only saw a little bit of one game.
I was playing basketball against second grade.
Yes.
I'll take that.
That is what it looked like. Pretty good. Who did we roll out as the for our guys?
The only one I knew of was Robbie Hummel, who was like all Big Ten on Purdue, and he kept ripping up his knee. And I think he maybe lasted a couple of years in the NBA. And so he's a guy who's probably like 35 and has, you know, basketball pedigree, but, you know, can't hack it in the NBA anymore. He's an analyst on the Big Ten Network, but I just remember they said the U.S. team led by Robbie Hummel didn't qualify.
Why didn't we get some of the big three guys?
I don't get it because all of their well, how about NBA guys? You have these guys that try out for the Olympics, and then they cut them. Like Julius Randle was one of the final cuts,
right?
Why doesn't he go? All right, I'll just dominate the 3-on-3. He would have scored all the points by himself.
Yes, Trae Young was begging to be on the team. Put him on the 3-on-3 and just let him rain threes.
Would be awesome.
How fun would that be?
Yeah. So I don't know. They gotta do a better job of recruitment.
I agree.
Omar Vizquel.
Great hands.
Post. He's having a maybe a worse than Kirby Puckett post playing career situation. He was sued by the former Birmingham Barons bat boy over alleged sexual harassment.
I read a little bit of this article, and it's, if true, it's scathing.
It doesn't look, and I feel like there was some other stuff with him before this lawsuit.
Yeah, but I think that might have been like some ex-wives or some mistresses.
Right. Now you got the bad boy in play.
Right. This autistic man. I think we say neuroatypical now, Jeff Passan.
Oh,
I don't know. I could be wrong. An autistic man accused longtime major league player Omar Vizquel of sexual harassment while he was managing a Chicago White Sox minor league affiliate, alleging in a civil lawsuit filed this week that Vizquel had exposed his penis multiple times and forced the man to clean his back while Vizquel showered.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Tommy, come over here. Could you get my back? I need you to get my back. Hey, this is like some Sandusky type shit. He did his work in the shower, too.
This is bad. This is really bad.
I mean, this guy was an adult, but still. The lawsuit details alleged sexually aggressive behavior that included at least five occasions in which Vizquel deliberately exposed his erect or partially erect penis to the man.
Oh, no.
On August 22nd, 2019, according to the lawsuit, Vizquel emerged naked from a shower, handed the man a bar of soap and said,
"Is he the coach and manager?
Manager, wash my damn back." The man, humiliated, intimidated, and frightened of what could happen if he disobeyed, complied with Vizquel's demand. Washed his fucking back. I'm going to say it right now. I'd rather suck your dick than wash your back. More humiliating to wash a man's back.
Yeah. Washing a back is bad. This is a bad situation.
Yeah. Unreal. But this isn't criminal. This is just – he's just going to have to pay this guy. Oh, Vizquel. Last week, Vizquel was fired as the manager of the Tijuana Bulls in the Mexican Baseball League. Whew.
He's Brock Meyering himself.
Yeah, I don't see another opportunity coming for old Omar, especially after this.
Maybe him and Thom Brenneman could team up.
Doing high school games in Cincy?
Yeah, sounds good.
Ed, what else is going on?
The next subject, I really want him out of the news, but I did think this is a funny headline. OJ Simpson won't go out in LA because he's afraid of running into the real killer.
Can't be too careful, Ed.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. I mean, this.
He's just trying to live his life.
His ex-wife was murdered. Like, they could be looking for him. Maybe they haven't found the right golf course.
Must be weird to live in a house with no mirrors.
You're right.
Just right. So he doesn't run into that guy.
Yes, yes. Very difficult. Do you think he and whoever his accomplice likely was, many have implicated his oldest son. Some say AC Cowlings. Do you think they acknowledge, you know, whoever helped him, do you think they ever acknowledge it, or they just, you know, it's just not spoken about?
I actually believe that OJ has had a full break, that I don't think he thinks he did it.
I've always operated under that theory too. Look, like, he's just so delusional that he's just doesn't. Yeah. He thinks he's,
because he's delusional in many ways, in the way he talks. In any interview you've seen over the years, he's delusional about sort of everything. He's a very odd guy.
Yeah, he's a narcissist. You know, he was a bad guy, you know, pre-murder. And he was a tuner. What? He'd tune her up.
Of course. Yeah. Tuned her up on New Year's.
Yes.
I feel like Cowlings doesn't get made fun of enough. What a bitch he was. The whole behavior for him.
You know who it is. This is AC, goddammit.
Like, and he was, and then they like followed their careers, and you're like, oh yeah, he was the Jack Haley,
yeah,
to Dennis Rodman, for like they went to the Niners together. Like, he was just, he loved the Jews so much.
Well,
he would,
I mean,
do everything.
He'd get the strays, like,
right. I guess that's enough to make you a friend for life.
OJ get the pick of the litter, but then here's another handsome black dude hanging out with him.
Right.
That's, you know, he gets the
at worst, he was getting B pluses.
Yeah, for sure. Do you know that these guys were tight with the guy, I don't know his name, but he started Public Storage, storage company. And he's like the biggest, I think, USC donor or has been over the years. And he donated a fucking dorm in Al Cowling's name.
Wow.
So you could live, if your kid's a freshman at USC, they could live in Al Cowling's dorm.
Wow.
It's kind of weird, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because he's still very much part of the whole
totally
murder. Like, why that name?
Yes, it's super weird. A lot of money, I bet. What else is going on?
Okay, this was my favorite moment of the Olympics. Did you see? So this event is insane. There's an event called the Modern Pentathlon.
Yeah.
And this German woman was like on a record-breaking. She had like a record-breaking lead. She was destroying the competition. And from what I gather is the Modern Pentathlon. First of all, the word modern needs to be scrapped.
Right.
But this is like what they used to test soldiers. This is you have to swim and run and maybe like javelin or something and then ride horses.
What?
And like horse jumping, like all that bullshit equestrian stuff.
Oh my God. Fencing, freestyle swimming, equestrian show jumping, pistol shooting, and cross country running?
It's an insane bunch of stuff.
Wow. That's better than the steeplechase.
Steeplechase. I enjoy watching some jockeying for position in the puddles. People go like a little crazy. But it's an insane group. Fencing? What? But this was like old soldier testing.
Right, right.
I don't know why I never wondered, but steeplechase was because you would have these races to the churches in the countryside, in the English countryside. That's why it's called the steeplechase.
Oh, right.
With the jumping running over to church. Puddles.
Yeah.
So old Saint Boy, the horse, she had this big lead and it was fantastic. The horse is like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not competing.
Yeah.
I don't get the gold medal. Right. Nobody's giving me shit.
Yes.
You're whacking me. I won't jump. And then she like does another lap and then she's like, okay, ready, jump. And the horse is like, nope, fuck you.
Oh my God. I'm gonna keep talking. I'm going to play
it. It's the best. Watching. And she's just crying. And I saw a meme made of it where the horse looks like he's smiling or laughing.
He kind of does look like he's smiling because she's pulling that thing in his mouth.
And she's bawling. And then he's got the bit in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's not going to do it. Well, I guess the pentathlon coach was disqualified after punching the horse after Saint Boy refused to jump. And the rider went from first to 31st.
Good.
It was justified.
Good. I love Saint Boy. Saint Boy's our new Harambe.
That's right. Saint Boy's living his best life. And the German coach tried to Mongo him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's no wonder he didn't want to jump. You're whipping him. And then when you whip him and he doesn't jump, what do? You punch him.
What are we doing with horses? Right. We're going to make him jump? What?
It's a lot.
This is not an Olympic sport. Get it out of here.
I agree. And I hate anything that's like yachting. I hate anything that's exclusively the domain of rich guys.
Right.
You know, like you can't compete in a sport unless you're a billionaire. You know,
there's nobody of even middle class that could possibly compete in yachting or a horse event. You just, they don't give you access.
You got, so what's the horse's name again?
Saint Boy.
Saint Boy. You know, you got to have a whole barn of Saint Boys. You know, you can't just have one. You got to have, because they can't work every day, these horses. And you got to train all the time. So you work with the horse, but then you're working with different horses. And then it's kind of like you figure out which one's the best one. I'm kind of making this up, but I'm on the right track.
Go with it.
So you got to be rich. You got to have your own fucking barn. You got to have a stable and shit. You got to, this is like your job.
And then you need to have a stable boy. You need to have, you need to have like a staff.
Oh yeah. That's right. You got to have somebody to clean up. give them the hay and the, you gotta have vets. It's a lot. You gotta get your fucking horses to Japan.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Fuck this sport.
It's a bullshit sport. And it was great. Cause this woman was just very pleased with herself. Look at me in first place. And the horse is like, Oh, you're gonna win the gold all by yourself? Let me see if I can bump you down 30 spots.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Not great. Fucking Tom Brady. A story came out, interview with Ian Eagle, who's a pro. I like Ian Eagle.
He's great.
He said Tom Brady once shamed him, not once, he saw him drinking a soda and eating a donut, and he's shamed him in years since. Like, he'll keep bringing it up.
I mean, Tom Brady is a monster. He's a real piece of shit. I hate his guts. But Ian Eagle, who I love, infinitely better play-by-play guy than most of the guys whose names are household names.
He's one of the best.
He's great. I don't know where that name came from, Ian Eagle.
Hey, listen.
It's really close to Iron Eagle with Lou Gossett Jr. Right. It's Ian, but it's pronounced Ian. I hate that. I don't like that. That said, I love Ian Eagle. But look, Ed. If somebody's eating a donut and drinking a fucking Pepsi for breakfast.
Well, what he said.
You got to call this out. Like, this, that's not normal behavior.
He said he's not a coffee drinker and he had to get some caffeine.
Oh, hungover.
Yeah, I think he had like an early gig.
Yeah.
And he was probably banged up. He probably worked with Bill Raftery before the he probably had one of those nights.
I mean, I still side with, despite all that, because it's a disgusting breakfast. Yeah.
I just don't like food shaming. Like, all right. Yeah, it's not for you.
I know. But it's,
we know Tom Brady like has to eat kale every day of his life and he'll shame you. Oh, and he needs his magic juice. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Tom Brady sucks. I hate his guts. And Ian Eagle, maybe you don't shame him like every time you see him for the Pepsi and the donut thing. That's another thing. Like, Tom Brady doesn't have jokes because he's a robot.
He's got no material.
Right. So he just got the one thing he's got and he's just going to do that one thing because it's all – he's kind of like Russell Wilson. Remember Russell Wilson sent that beautiful tweet to his – to Ciara, and it was like this beautiful love tweet. And people are like, this wording is kind of weird. And so people cut and pasted the tweet into a Google search, and it turns out he like searched nice things to say to your girlfriend or something. And there was, it was like an AI generated love note that cut and pasted, plagiarized.
And he plagiarized like the son from Home Improvement, plagiarized Armie Hammer's divorce Instagram post.
Yes, exactly. It's like, these guys are mental. They have problems. That's why they're so successful. They're narcissists. They're crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm not letting Tom Brady off the hook. That said, I agree. It's a disgusting breakfast and should be made fun of.
Well, it's time for Now Sports. Now Sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. Sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports segment.
We've been doing a lot of RIPs. We almost need like an RIP.
I know. This joiner, this is a
like
big
a RIP song would be good.
This is an RIP. Yeah, because this week we've got what, six? I just wanted to point out in the background, there's really we're at a kind of a dark area of sports because baseball, you still got a long ways to go and nothing else is going on. And the Little League World Series is on, and there was a kid who looked like Engelbert who was put in and just got hit by a pitch. There's a coach from West Texas who's doing the buttermaker technique.
Yeah.
Just get, absolutely. Hey, tell the big guy, go get hit by a pitch.
Go lean into one. Hey, it works.
All right. We got a bunch of RIPs and these are in sports too, but RIP J.R. Richard, the 71 years old. He was just putting up ridiculous strikeout numbers for the Astros and then had a stroke.
Wow.
I think he had a stroke in 1980. So wow. he lived another 41 years, but yeah, he was like 30 years old, 30 years old. And he was posting 300 K season after 300 K, like high. He was putting up huge numbers, and then that was it. Had a stroke. RIP TikTok star Timbo the Redneck. He died after big booty truck tragedy. He died doing what he loved, and that's doing donuts in his front yard.
How do you die from that? Like that you lose control and you smash into a tree or something, and you're not wearing your seatbelt?
I don't know all the details, but do you think Timbo the Redneck is using a seatbelt?
Unlikely.
I can make a lot of assumptions about a Timbo the Redneck, and one of the first ones is he's not going to wear a seatbelt.
Doing donuts in the yard. He's probably doing it for the gram, right?
Of course, trying to get some
content going for his page.
Hopefully he got some likes.
I hope so too. Yeah. Blow it up. Blow up Timbo the Redneck's TikTok page.
We got a surprise on our hands. My 600-pound life star, Gina Krasley, died at the age of 30.
Do we know what took her? Was it vid?
I don't know. I mean, she seemed to be pretty good shape.
Was it an acute lack of pies? Was she going through pie withdrawal? You know, sometimes if you quit, they say that's what killed Amy Winehouse, is she was drinking so much and she had an eating disorder, and then she just quit drinking cold turkey.
Oh, wow.
And that's, you know, not healthy. That's, you actually have to like taper off a little bit. So maybe Gina Krasley went cold turkey on pies. Oh, it's so fucked up.
I mean, can you imagine trying to sleep at night after you're producing My 600-pound Life?
Yeah.
Hey, let's get cameras 24/7 on someone who's killing themselves. Because I mean, is there anyone on that show that lives to 35?
No, I don't. I've never seen it.
I've never seen it, but I'm aware it exists.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everybody's like trying to steal Walter Hudson's highlights, you know, like,
I mean,
he was the OG. He was like the My 1400-pound Life guy.
You'll impress me when you have an identical twin and you're on a motorcycle.
That's, yes.
Everything else. Yeah.
Agree. Hold
on. Haystacks, Calhoun, all these people.
Hold on. I'm Googling Walter Hudson because I need to know his.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Shared a page with Robert Wadlow. Wow. He lived 1944. To 1991. Ooh, died on Christmas Eve. So what? He was like 46. That's a pretty 47. That's a pretty long run.
Let's see what the McGuire twins are up to.
Yeah. Why did Walter die?
Why are they called the McGuire? They're the McCrary twins. They're called the McGuire twins.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So Billy McCrary.
Yep.
He lived from 46 to 79. So he lived to 32. He was 32 and a half when he died.
Wow.
Danny McCrary didn't die of a broken heart because he lived till 01.
Wow.
He lived to be 55 years old.
It's not a – wow, that's quite a bit longer.
They were 723 and 745, respectively.
It's not a Chang and Aang situation.
No. You know,
Chang or Aang, one of them, Chang or Aang kicked off. And then, you know, Aang or Chang, the other one that was still alive, he knew his time was numbered. He's just seen his Siamese twin brother, his conjoined twin brother expire. And he just had to wait it out.
Wow.
You know, they were easily.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, they were.
Yeah, just wait it out.
Yeah. They were both married. So that had to be a little awkward, right?
Yeah.
You know, like.
That marriage at the end must have been really awkward.
Yeah. Extremely.
You got to bring the dead guy around.
Yeah. Extremely. We don't have a top weight on Walter Hudson. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
800?
He was the holder. So he's apparently only the sixth heaviest person in medical history. He was had a Guinness World Record for the largest waist, 119 inches.
Yo, that is that's serious.
When he was at his peak weight of 1,197 pounds, four digits.
I didn't realize he got over 1,000.
Four digits. Hudson describes his average daily diet as consisting of two boxes of sausages, a pound of bacon. What up, Chris Morales? 12 eggs, a loaf of bread. That's his breakfast. The sausages. Two boxes of sausages, a pound of bacon, a dozen eggs, and a loaf of bread. That's breakfast.
He must have done a ton of sleeping. You can't stay awake after that breakfast. You can't.
No, especially him. He's got no energy already, right? Here's lunch. This guy's a discerning eater. Four hamburgers, four double cheeseburgers, five large fries.
Three
large ham steaks. Yeah, he wants some with no cheese just to kind of mix it up.
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Insane order right there.
Yes, four hamburgers, four double cheeseburgers, five large fries, three large ham steaks.
What?
Or so two much chickens. Beef. Or four baked potatoes, four sweet potatoes for the fiber, four heads of broccoli, and most of a large cake. He also had additional snacks and drank an average of 237 ounces of soda every day.
Oh, my God.
How'd he get to 47? Wow. R.I.P. Walter Hudson, sixth heaviest person in medical history.
That is insane. I just wanted to point out, as expected, Benny, who lived to – oh, he died at 54. He wasn't quite 55. He died of heart failure, right?
Yeah.
In an upset.
Broken heart.
An upset. Billy McCrary died from a motorcycle accident. It wasn't the fat that killed him.
Was he on the scooter?
I guess so.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Who could have seen? Life comes at you fast, you know?
Yeah, it does. It can't be that fast when you're 723 pounds. Comes pretty slow, I would think. Bobby Bowden died, 91 years old.
Yeah.
He talked folksy.
Yeah.
He had curious disciplinary measures as the coach.
And a win.
Hey, Ernie Sims. I know 80 people saw you punch your girlfriend in the face on campus, but I'm not going to suspend you for the Miami game.
Yeah.
I'm going to suspend you for the double directional school game the week after.
Hey, they got boosters to keep happy, Ed. this is FSU. They play real ball down there. I'll be honest. When I heard Bobby Bowden died, I was like, in 2012?
Again?
Yeah. Good dude, long run. Yeah. He was 91. Talked
like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Cool and the Gang co-founder Dennis Thomas. He was 70.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. The Whitest Guys You Know co-founder Trevor Moore.
And Twitter's going crazy about this guy. I never saw The Whitest Guys You Know.
Oh, it's pretty funny, but I didn't watch a ton of it, but I've seen some clips this week, people showing it, and pretty great stuff, but he was 41. It said in an accident, so I don't know
He was found in his backyard. Like it's, oof. I don't know. Let's not speculate.
And then this one hit pretty hard with a lot of our listeners.
I wasn't ready for this.
I was upset by this one. R.I.P. Marky Post, 70 years old. Apparently, she'd been battling cancer for like 3.5 years.
I mean,
one of the greats.
There's no delicate way to say this, but she was a tremendous piece of ass in the 80s. Ed. Like just really, really just hot. And she overcame just having one of those ridiculous haircuts all the time.
Yeah, but she overcame it. Like
you know how hot you have to be that you're cutting your hair bad and it doesn't make you less hot?
Right.
Insane. R.I.P. Marky Post.
Bill Gates now saying spending time with Jeffrey Epstein was a huge mistake.
Huh.
Hmm.
You mean flying to the private island of a convicted sex offender wasn't a good idea? Bad for your brand?
Jury's out. This is the thing with this guy. Everyone who knew Jeffrey Epstein knew his game. There's no ignorance. Not for Bill Clinton, not for Bill Gates, not for Trump. No. None of these. Everyone knew that's what he was. He had no identity but that.
Yeah.
Fuck Bill Gates.
Hey, and they
Bill
were
Gates,
like
a huge piece of shit.
Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, they're like the Al Cowlings of the situation. They were just trying to pick up the Epstein strays.
Bill Gates had a worse haircut than Marky Post. As I texted you, he had junk drawer scissors. Give yourself a haircut.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's true. And terrible the sweaters. Haircut. Yeah. Ugh,
the worst.
Yeah.
And a piece of shit. He stole lots of stuff.
And his operating system sucks balls. This guy revolutionized computers. How long it takes a Windows computer to boot up? Like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, go get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You're going to wait a while.
Right.
Corporate bully. Terrible. Fuck him.
Fuck him. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.